Hey, guess what I want to talk about today? The Holy Spirit. You're right. You are paying attention. Yes, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I can't help the way I am. I'm just made that way. I'm Rose's kid, so I'm just kind of excited a lot of times. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I really, really get excited because of the things the Holy Spirit does. And I'm excited about the conversations I've been having about the Holy Spirit with different people, about things that are happening in your life, things that have happened in the past, things that have been foundational about the Holy Spirit and what He does in our life. And I just want to share that with you, but not share that with you. I'm going to ask you that we would together just say, you know what, we want to pursue exactly everything that the Holy Spirit has for us. Whether it's a brand new experience, a brand new introduction, or whether it's something that we've talked about a long, long time, it should be that it's exciting. The things of God should be exciting. They're challenging. I understand that. They change us. But at the same time, it should be exciting. And that's how I feel about the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you to join me in the 2 Corinthians. It'll be on the screen here just for a second. But here is Paul, and he says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How about that? Most of the time we think that anytime you're involved with anything that's spiritual, it's confining. It's restricting. It holds you down. It's all of the don'ts instead of the do's. But Paul says that there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I just want to tell you where we're going today. The Holy Spirit sometimes, in a Pentecostal church especially, is usually directly linked with just the experience of being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, and the results of that being tongues or other things. And there's a whole lot of things that are disregarded. I don't think that they are disregarded as far as they're just forgotten and not even important, but a lot of times they don't make the headlines. So I want to do that today in that one of the greatest things that should happen to us when we are filled with the Spirit is that our lives are changed. It is transformed. We become something we never dreamed we could be. We become something that we never were. And that's what this is all about. Let me take you to the book of John. I'm going to direct you through a couple of comments. Now, let me remind you of something that sometimes you kind of forget when you're reading through this Bible. Sometimes you read in the other Gospels, Jesus goes and he has the Passover Supper, which we call the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper, with his disciples, and boom, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. On the way there or in the garden, he is teaching constantly. John the 14th chapter, John the 15th chapter, John the 16th chapter, he is teaching his disciples. And in John 14, he says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of Truth. One of the reasons that the Holy Spirit came is so that he could be our counselor, our helper. He's going to assist us in the things that we need. You know, if you've ever needed a tutor, if you've never needed a mentor, if you've ever needed somebody to show you how to do something, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. John, the 14th chapter, a few verses later, he says, all this I have spoken while still with you, he says, but the counselor, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He is here to guide us through this life. We're not on our own. This isn't just clueless things. This is the Holy Spirit assisting us. And then John, the 16th chapter, he says, I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's a book I read a long time ago by John Maxwell. It's called The Success Journey. And he reminds everybody, he says, success is not a destination. You don't get to this point and stop. He said, it's a journey. You'll constantly be on this journey, constantly be moving, constantly be going. And that's exactly what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is. It's not a destination. It is a continual transformation in our life. We're going to be constantly changed by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to be extremely respectful when I say this. This was not my experience, but I've heard several say, I was so encouraged, I was urged, I was almost coached at times to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is, with speaking with other tongues, somebody said, you got it. And I thought I'd arrived. This is the whole goal. Once I got there, I crossed the finish line and I quit running. I got to where I was supposed to go, so I stopped, but I didn't have any direction to go beyond that. But that's what we need to be reminded today, that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a constant influence of the Holy Spirit transforming us into what we're supposed to be next. It's not a trophy. It's not a diploma. You get that after a task that has been accomplished. It is not a feeling. It's not tongues. It's that and much, much more. The Holy Spirit's in us, transforming us constantly. Listen, God has a purpose for you and me here on earth, and we need to fulfill that purpose. Matter of fact, when we get to heaven, there's only really two things that are going to matter. Did we fulfill the purposes that God put us here for? And did we become the person that He created us to be? Become constantly. Listen, I guess the bag, you made the cat's out of the bag. It's my birthday. I'm 60 years old. I am on the edge of death. When I was 20, this was the edge of death. I mean, the clock starts running backwards. It's a countdown now. I'm telling you. I'm glad my birth certificate doesn't have an expiration date on it. Or if it did, I could plan better. I'd know at least when it's all over. But, you know, it's amazing. I know you think I'm lying to myself, but at 60, I'm going, this is pretty cool. We're having a lot of fun. But I got to remind you what my mom said, just because, oh, Debbie said this, actually. She said, just because you're having fun doesn't mean everybody else is. So, yes, that is a direct quote from my wife, and she's right over here. And I'm telling you, she's always warning me, just because I'm having a blast doesn't mean everybody else is, but too bad, I'm having a blast. You listen to the words. These are the last words of Jesus recorded in Luke. It says this, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. And many of us, no matter if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, full-fledged Christians, we go to church every year, every day, every week, every moment, the doors are open. Do we feel like we have power in our lives? Are we clothed with power, or do we just realize, you know what, when I'm 60, since I'm on the edge of death, thank God, because I'll at least go to heaven. I see a lot of people, it seems to be their expression. You know, it would seem that, you know, the most important thing that Jesus would say, okay, here's the message, go out there and preach it, but He didn't say that. He said, no, before you do anything, go and wait until you are endued and clothed with power. It's important that we understand. This is an ingredient of what the Holy Spirit does. And before He ascended, He reminded them in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be my witnesses. You may not have power at work. You may not have power of a lot of things, but you can have power in your life with Christ. Power. You can pray to be healed. You can pray for people's lives to be saved. You can be confident of what's happening. You can feel the Holy Spirit doing things in your life. You can sense the presence of God in your life. You can feel Jesus holding your hand. That's the kind of power we're talking about. And it comes not only with a relationship with Jesus, but with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the essential purpose of all of this is to be witnesses. You know, this is a thing that's built right into that. But witnessing goes far beyond words. One of the most crucial things in evangelism is what? Is it boldness? Is it how much you know? No, it's credibility. Credibility. It doesn't matter if you can answer every question somebody has. Doesn't matter if you're bold and you don't care what anybody says. If you have no credibility, you have no witness. Wouldn't you like to have the power to have your credibility, your integrity, and your character defended and represented by who you are in Christ, and not because of who you are, what your title is, what you drive, or where you live? That's what this is all about. I love the way God has the whole package involved here. Christianity isn't just go and do the right thing, show up at church, take your Bible, sing the songs, give in the tithe. That's a horrible existence, isn't it? There's no fun in that. There's no excitement in that. But there's power in what Jesus gives us there. Listen, witness is composed of three things. Put them on the screen real quick. It's what we say, how we say it, and who we are. What we say is important. We can't be spreading lies. How we say it is important. Because you know what? I told somebody not too long ago. I said, you know what? You could be dead wrong, and I could confront you on that. But based on the way I confront you, you would defend your wrongness simply because what? You felt attacked instead of loved. You felt like somebody was coming at you instead of somebody coming with you. It's important. And who we are. Listen, I got two friends, Baldy Boyd and Randy Brogdon, went to a Dallas Cowboy football game. They're sitting in the stands, and there's this guy in front of them been drinking like crazy. He's just making their experience horrible. He said, it's about the third quarter. We're getting sick and tired of this. Finally, this guy jumps up, spilt his beer, You know, and I just tapped him on the shoulder and said, sir, he said, you know, you are really just rowdy and disturbing us. Would you please settle down? And he said, this guy looked at me and he pointed his finger at my hand and he goes, you need the Lord. There's something wrong with that picture. Who we are is going to be a pretty powerful thing. And you know what? People will see through an awful lot of things. You know, they don't care if you know everything. They just want to know that you care. They don't care if you win the argument, and you shouldn't either. You want to win their hearts. Win their hearts so that they will look to Jesus. You don't want to do anything other than just be who you are. Because you know, you walk away from that, regardless of the decision is made, regardless of whether you changed anybody's life or not, you're still intact because of who you are. Let me take you to 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Paul says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You know, the reason that we honor Paul is not because of just the things he said. He seems like pretty bold, doesn't he? Because he was bold earlier in his life, then he got saved. But you know what? Here's the cool thing. He had character. He had built his credibility with these people. Our emotions, our attitudes, and our actions are part of our message just as much as our words. Where you go, what you do, how you speak, the way you talk about politicians, the jokes you tell, the music you listen to. This isn't a do or don't thing. I'm just telling you, your integrity and your credibility is a powerful, powerful witness. And you know what? It doesn't take very long to lose it. It takes a long time to get it back, doesn't it? Long time to get it back. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? And we'll talk about those a little bit later. But it's all a part of what the Holy Spirit does. It's not just the gifts of tongues and prophecy and different things. It's also the fruits of the Spirit. We find these over in Galatians 5. Stop and think about it. These vital components are not only just what God blesses you with through the Holy Spirit, but they're a vital part of the witnessing process. It's when you love somebody, even though they've wronged you, that witnesses to them. Think about that. You have every right, at least in your own mind, to reject them, to oppose them. But you love them even though they wronged you. Wow, powerful, powerful message right there. They look at you and they go, why do you have joy when you should be sorry? You've lost this, you've lost that. Your health is gone, but you still have joy. There's patience in your life. It just drives me crazy how you can be so cool and calm. It's amazing. They don't know what to do with all of those things. And God says, listen, when they're seeing these things and you're going through tribulation, they're going through tribulation. There are layoffs going left and right. We don't know what's going to go with the economy, but you're cool and you're collected and there. You have the patience of the Lord and there's this presence there and there's this gentleness, even though hostility should be your response. There's something beyond that. The greatest compliment anyone's ever given you is when they go, there's something about you. There's something about you. You ever had that? You've seen it in other people. You just pick up on it. There's something about that person. You see how that there's this part of them. And you know what? It's what the Holy Spirit, that work that He does inside of all of us, called the fruits of the Spirit. Our message is validated by who we are. And who we are is a conjunctive work of God the Father working in our life. Jesus saving us and forgiving us of our sins, and the Holy Spirit giving us His power to be the people He calls us to be. The credibility of a Christian is an essential requirement for us to just live, but also to reach our world, to reach our world. Listen, Paul uses the word transformed in a couple places. First of all, he uses it in Romans 12, but also in 2 Corinthians 3. That word transformed is the science word that you and I loved about 7th grade science, metamorphosis. I'm just excited I could say that word. Metamorphosis. You know, there it is. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-S-I-P-P-I. Okay, there you go. I mean, that's almost how bad those words are, metamorphosis. But it literally means that there's a transformation. It is the picture of a, what was that? The worm. What? Caterpillar. Thank you. Caterpillar. Caterpillar that goes and goes into the cocoon and comes out a butterfly. I know it was small and it crawled and it's squishy. The caterpillar. And it turns into a butterfly. It's transformation. This is what he says about this. And yeah, let me read you the definition. It says, it's referred to an extreme change, Most of us get saved and we don't want God to move us a whole lot. We don't want the needle to move a whole lot. We like kind of where we're comfort zones. And God says, hey, no, I want extreme change. And trust me, you'll love it too. If you'll get on board, the extreme change I want to do in your life is going to be really, really cool. It's not going to be weird. It's not going to be fanatical. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. It refers to an extreme change in the nature from something of one kind to something of another kind that is totally different from what it used to be, both in resemblance and substance. Listen, it's not just when you get saved, but it's a part of that process where you are going down this road, you are living in darkness, and God saves you, you turn around, you go a whole different road, and now you're living in the light. You don't talk the way you used to. You're not judgmental like you used to. Something's going different in your life, and they don't understand it. You may not understand it, but you know it's God. I told you about my experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how that God gave me a love that I just didn't even know existed. You know, you can get to like people and love them and appreciate them, but man, there's a part of the Spirit that loves people that is just undescribable. You have no idea. There's a peace, all of these other things. It's incredible what God does. One of the greatest attributes of a Christian and one of the greatest warnings we understand is that this is not about spiritual arrival. Because these things that God does in our life, He does them in phases. He does them in stages exactly. There's one thing that He wants to do. He wants to keep you, not just with this experience of baptism of the Holy Spirit, I speak in tongues, but He wants to change you. So let me just ask the little question. When was the last time you felt that change? Is God doing something in you to where you're feeling, you know, this change in your life? And it's not an evolutionary thing. This isn't something about physical reasons. It's about something that the Holy Spirit's doing. And you know what? You couldn't stop it if you had to. But you can reject it if you want to. But God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something exciting in your life. And here's the cool thing. It bleeds over into every area of your life. I tell married couples this all the time. If I'm giving them counseling or pre-counseling to marriage, I'll tell them this. So listen, you know what? You can take two of you, and if you have some indifference, you work on saying, oh, I'm sorry about this, sorry about that. But let me tell you something. The closer you as an individual, you get to God, and the closer they as an individual get to God, the closer you're going to get to God. You want some dynamic things to happen in your marriage. You want some dynamic things to happen at work. You want to have some good feelings about yourself. You want some direction. Then you know what? Get plugged into what the Holy Spirit's dealing out. And it'll be fabulous for you. You'll find yourself changing in areas that you didn't know you needed to change. And it's going to be exciting what He does there. Listen, Peter taught that we need to become this, partakers of the divine nature. You tend to gravitate toward the things that you're around. If you want to hang around a lot of people that tell dirty jokes, you're going to be influenced by that. You're going to start thinking like that. Now, you may never say those words. You may never tell those jokes. But you're going to start being influenced by the environment. So you know what? You need to pick your friends very, very carefully. Because they are not just friends. They're influences. But if you get a part of what the Lord's handing out, you start becoming a part of the divine nature. You know what that means? You start thinking like God thinks. Oh, that sounds like last week's sermon, doesn't it? You start thinking like God thinks. You start feeling the things that God feels. You begin to do the things that God does. Church isn't a duty. Church is something you'd want to do. Reading your Bible isn't a checkoff, a little thing you do on your checkoff list, but it's something I can't wait to do. Prayer isn't long and arduous. What am I going to say? No, the Holy Spirit assists you and helps you in praying because we become a part of the divine nature. He says this in 2 Peter 1:4. We have become partakers of the divine nature, and I talked about it, those in stages. Listen to this. We must diligently make every effort to add to our faith goodness, to add to our goodness knowledge, to our knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And most of those are so, there's just no power in that, is there? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're going, nobody got healed with that verse of Scripture. It almost sounds like, just be a nicer person. Let's hold hands a little more often. Let's say nicer words. It sounds like we're taming it and dumbing down this thing. No, this is adding in stages to this person that you're going to be, and God is going to do some incredible things. But this only happens if they are increasing as we're getting deeper and deeper in this circumstance. The second thing is transformation happens through submission. It doesn't just happen on itself. This transformation, this turns into something new, is something that God wants us to do. Remember, Paul talked about it in Romans, the 12th chapter. And he says this, that you need to be transformed. It's a command. But we can't transform ourselves. We have to be helped by God. Because of God's grace and mercy, we can be forgiven and we can accept who we are. By his power, we don't have to settle for what we are. Isn't that cool? You don't have to settle for where you are right now. And it's not a decision you make that in your sheer willpower you're going to just go on. Listen, I don't know what the next several years, have for me. Evidently, it's death according to Kate. I'm on the edge of death, remember, So I'm at 60 years old. I'm winding down. There's a lot of gunk in the carburetor. Everything doesn't work anymore. Transmission is horrible and all this other stuff, according to him. But I do know this much. You know what? I don't have to settle for what the Word says. What the world says. I don't have to settle for how I feel. I can let God tell me what's going on. And I don't care if it's measured in 5 minutes or 5 years or whatever. I'm not stupid enough to think that I'm going to be 100 years old. I don't want to be, but I do tell you this much. If I want, I can look into what God says about me, and I can just see what he wants to do. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, hopefully I can do more in the next couple of years than I've done in the last 60. Now, you can call that crazy all you want. And if you want to wind down and quit and just call this thing quits, that's fine with me. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to settle for this mundane, horrible life that I'm now on the downhill slide and it's just going to get worse. I'm not going to do it. I'm going out of here with a blaze of glory. I'm sorry. I'm going to get out of here kicking and screaming. I'm going to go ahead rejecting everything that I can. To the best of my ability, that's what I'm going to do. You know why? I think that's the way God would want it. I really do. And it all goes back to who we are in his eyes. To be what God wants us to be, we must continually submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit who transforms us into the image of God. I'm going to tell you what, I've seen it a million times. For the longest time, I didn't understand it, how grandkids and children can just be broken when they lose a grandparent that is broken. They're broken. Sometimes they can't move around. They can't talk. They can't give them the physical activity that they would like to. Years have stolen that from them. But boy, there's a spiritual component that is so powerful. And they're broken. But you know what? The cool thing is that they may be broken by the moment that they lost that grandparent or that good friend. But I'll tell you what, they live on. And it's their influence that will take that grandchild to a point in Christ that they never dreamed they could be. And it might be simply just be an image, but how powerful it is. And it's all associated with Christ in me and the Holy Spirit that does these dynamic works in my life. Let me finish by telling you what Paul said in Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not over. If you've known Jesus Christ for decades, if you've been filled with the Spirit so long, you don't remember when you got filled with the Spirit. I've heard people joke about, I think I was conceived in the church because I have no idea of anything other than church. That scares me to even think about that thought. But they've been so introduced to all of this stuff that it's so. But have they really seen a progression? Or is it just history? God forbid it just be history. Amen? Would you bow your heads with me, if you will? Let me ask the musicians to come. Today is a day when we get the opportunity to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, thank you for sending the helper. But today, with his help, I will continue to change, to be transformed, to be somebody that I need to be. My credibility will always be based on who you are and what you do in my life. Today's a little bit different, at least in my mind, the way I was seeing this close. We're going to allow the altars to be open all you want, but today, this is not Pastor Dave's push to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to guide away from that, but I want us to look deep within our hearts and say, am I moving in the right direction? Or is life just passing me by? Is the Holy Spirit really giving me that portion of Scripture where it says that I have been clothed with power? Do you feel the Holy Spirit? Do you feel the person of Jesus Christ? Is there something dynamic happening in your life? Do you feel like you have that focus and that encouragement that the future is something you invite instead of dread? Is the day with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? If you need to feel that power again, if you need to feel Him changing you, working with you, moving you, causing you to be something more than you ever have been before, then I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and put it right back down, because we want to pray that prayer, and then we're going to praise the Lord. Thank you, several of you. Anybody else? Real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, this isn't about that you're discontent. Most of us are very, very happy right where we are. But the Holy Spirit is coming to this place today and say, you might be happy, and I'm not unhappy with you, but you're not where I want you to be. I want to take you somewhere. I want to show you some things. I want to do some things in your life that you never dreamed of and you'll never do on your own. Will you just trust me? Today really is a day of dedication. Remember we had a little Elijah up here? We were talking about dedicating a baby, but really I told the parents, I said, really it's more about you dedicating yourselves. His future is based on what you dedicate yourself to. This church, this community, your witness, our credibility is based on what you dedicate yourself to, so that God can do something powerful. Right now, this church service will be just a regular church service where we went, we sang, we heard the announcements, we heard the preaching, we prayed, we left. Unless you desire for the Holy Spirit to do something more. I love that word more, don't you? I love that word more. I hope that and pray that's your prayer as well. I'm going to ask you to stand. Continue to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing a song that basically we're going to adopt it as a song of dedication. It's asking the Holy Spirit to do something more in our lives than we expect of ourselves. It's literally trusting Him to do the very thing that we can't do in the natural, He can do in the supernatural. To clothe us with that power. Aren't you envious of Paul's words? I am. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray today, Lord, that there are decisions made in the privacy of the heart that will only be seen as we live out our lives. And I pray, Father, that lives will be changed, that not just for the next 5 minutes, but 5 years down the road, we'll be celebrating what God has done. Today, whether it's just a little seed or whether it's a huge change, Father, we seek your face and we ask you, transform us, oh God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to associate with Him and what He can do and what He can do only. So today, Father, we reach out to you with our hearts and with our lives. I pray for everyone that raised their hand. I know the cry of their heart. I want to do more, Dave, but I want that power. I want to feel my life constantly changing. I don't want to just be in this rut, if you will. I want to be right on the front edge of what God wants to do in my life and what He wants to do in others' lives. And nothing else will satisfy me. And I trust Him for it. I ask you to do that today, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.